This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. Recently, a reader emailed us who was concerned about some claims that were recently made by a few radical schismatics concerning Pope Leo XIII. We really wondered whether it was worth addressing these claims, since they are frankly ridiculous and almost no one gives any credibility to them. However, we thought it would be worthwhile to address and refute them, because in doing so, it can highlight what the Church actually teaches even more, and also demonstrate how the radical schismatics fall on their faces once again. We have already refuted radical schismatics of this type and many of their heresies and errors in our Traditional Catholic Issues page and the subsection to e-exchanges and in the audios you will find therein. However, I want to talk about some of the recent claims. These radical schismatics claim that Pope Leo XIII was an anti-pope because, according to them, he denied the dogma that the Church and the state should not be separated. They also claim that he denied other dogmas, which I will refute as time permits, but I want to focus on this one first. And their, quote, best proof that Leo XIII denied this dogma comes in the encyclical Arcanum, February 10, 1880, and they quote paragraph 36, which says, quote, yet no one doubts that Jesus Christ, the founder of the Church, willed her sacred power to be distinct from the civil power, and each power to be free and unshackled in its own sphere. With this condition, however, a condition good for both and of advantage to all men, that union and concord should be maintained between them, and that on those questions which are, though in different ways, of common right and authority, the power to which secular matters have been entrusted should happily and becomingly depend on the other power, which has in its charge the interests of heaven. And he goes on. And so from this, because Leo XIII says that Jesus Christ willed her sacred power, meaning the Church's, to be distinct from the civil power, and each power to be free and unshackled in its own sphere, they conclude that this is heresy, that this denies the dogma that the Church and the state should not be separated. And the idea that the Church and the state should be separated is a theological error which was condemned by many popes, and it is a heresy. And when I saw this claim in the email, I immediately saw how ridiculous this was. But what's disappointing is how this reader was troubled by this. And perhaps I'll talk more about that later. But the simple answer to the question and to the claim is that these schismatics obviously do not understand that in Catholic teaching, the union of state and church does not mean a theocracy. In other words, you don't have the same people running the state as you do the church. That's a theocracy. For instance, in Muslim societies, where you have the clerics of the Islamic Republic presiding over the secular matters. Okay? The Catholic Church's teaching is not that the priests have to weigh in on every trial or have to run the civil government. There is a union of state and church in the sense that the state should recognize only the Catholic religion, and its laws should favor and reflect the laws of the Catholic Church and the laws of God. However, the priests and the bishops do not preside over the court system. They are not your public officials, etc. There are two distinct powers. In fact, a lot of people don't understand this, but the Catholic Church does not teach that a Catholic state must be a Catholic monarchy. It could be a democratic republic where the leaders are chosen by the people, as long as the Catholic religion is the favored religion and the laws of the state uphold and reflect the laws of God, as long as there is maintained that essential union. And Leo XIII himself teaches that in his encyclical Diuturnum, number 6, June 29, 1881. And so there are two distinct powers, the Church's authority and the civil authority, each operating in its own sphere. That's all he's saying. And I guess they don't understand that. They think that the priests perhaps have to preside over all decisions in a Catholic state. They also take issue with the word unshackled, where Leo XIII says that each power is to be free and unshackled in its own sphere. Well, it's certainly true that even in the distinction of powers, where you have the civil power and the church's power, and they each operate in their own areas, the civil power should maintain an essential subjection to the church's power. Not that the church directs every decision of the civil power, but that when push comes to shove on a difficult question, the church's decision should prevail. However, when he says unshackled, he does not deny this subjection. That's why he goes on to say that union and concord should be maintained between the two powers, and that on those questions which are, though in different ways, of common right and authority, the power to which secular matters have been entrusted should happily and becomingly depend on the other power which has in its charge the interests of heaven. And so we see he expresses that subjection. And so this is beyond ridiculous. This is an outrageous misunderstanding of Catholic teaching and a false accusation against Pope Leo XIII. And that's why he condemns separation of church and state. He condemns the idea that the state should be godless in Libertas and in many other passages. It's ridiculous. Furthermore, to highlight how out of context they've taken this, when he begins his statement that Jesus Christ willed the church's power to be distinct from the civil power, he's speaking in the context of the church being distinct from the state. He's not speaking with the emphasis on the state being distinct from the church as they try to spin it. And the reason that's important is because he just went through a discussion in Numbers 34 and 5 about how the church had to resist certain powerful rulers who tried to infringe upon the sacred bond of matrimony or overturn certain valid marriages, and that the church has always tried to work with the civil power as far as it could without compromising its essential truths. And so he's saying, yet even though the church tries to work with the civil power, Jesus Christ willed the church to be distinct from the civil power. And so he's talking about the distinction of the church from the civil power. In other words, the church's rights. And so it's just a total misrepresentation of Leo XIII. And it demonstrates a number of things. It demonstrates their ignorance of Catholic teaching, because someone who really understands this issue, when you see this passage, you immediately recognize he's not talking about heretical separation of church and state, as Vatican II teaches and the antipopes teach. He's talking about the distinction of the two powers. And to supplement their error, they go on to quote an encyclical of Pius IX, January 19, 1860, number 1 and 2. And the passage might be taken from our material, because it's a passage which we quoted in our book, where Pius IX says that God gave the civil power to the Roman pontiff, so that he, never subject to any power, might exercise in full liberty and without any impediment the supreme task of the apostolic ministry. And they're trying to give the impression that the popes hold the civil power. And this, again, is a complete distortion and stems from their ignorance of Catholic teaching. In this case, Pius IX is talking about the papal states, where the popes did hold the civil power, okay? As we covered in some of our other videos, Is the World About to End, Part 3, just like when Pius XI was reigning, the pope did hold the civil power in the Vatican City State. But that's not true in every Catholic state. That was a unique kind of arrangement. And so, normally speaking, there are two distinct powers. The civil power operating in its sphere, and the church's authority operating in its sphere, but the civil power should have an essential union and subjection to the true church. And so this, again, is misapplied. And so, perhaps I will cover more of their schismatic errors in another part, because I'm running out of time here. But, as we said, we've dealt with these schismatics before. We've personally dealt with them, and it's so clear what's going on here is you're dealing with people who don't have a pure intention, who are driven by pride, who are of bad will, who are ignorant of Catholic teaching, Dave L. and Frank P. And what it's a prime example of is how when people try to do more than they're called to do through pride, and if they haven't sought God's will with a pure intention, and God does call some people to obviously different tasks and to engage in certain things. But But when people through their pride want to do things which God hasn't called them to, they fall into errors like this. And this is the case with these guys. And we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that one should not be more wise than it behooveth to be wise. People who want to try to figure something out that's not there, and they wind up perverting Catholic teaching, leading themselves and the few who might follow them to hell.